Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in my sight, show me your ways so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you've asked, for you found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see my face and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of God for us, his people. Let's pray. Holy and almighty God, you who laid the foundations of the earth, who hemmed us in behind and before and knit us together in our mother's wounds, you who know us by name, may we ever keep our eyes fixed upon you. Lord, in this time, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your name I pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, God might not be with us. That's what doubt whispers and brushes against our ears. Doubt is that drop tainted that falls into the water of our lives and threatens to color the whole. Oh yes, doubt is that cold breeze that slips in through the crack in the door and threatens to steal the warmth of our homes. It's the bitter spice that threatens to ruin the whole dish. Unfortunately, my grandmother would tell you I have a lot of experience with that one. But doubt seems to slip up on us when we least expect it, and to attack us when it seems like we least need it. Ultimately, doubt may lead us to sin, and ultimately, doubt may lead us to despair. So it's no surprise that prior to the current passage, Moses and the Israelites found themselves in a pretty tough situation. After Israel commits idolatry with the golden calf, and God disowns Israel, his anger rages against them. You see, it was doubt initially that led Israel to build the golden calf and commit idolatry, to question whether or not Moses would really come back down from Sinai with a covenant to substitute a false god. You see, it was doubt that led Israel to sin in this case. It was doubt that led Israel to turn its back on God. You see, doubt has this funny way of slipping in to our lives, unbeknownst to us at the last minute, and leading us astray from God. At the culmination of Israel's most sacred moment, right before they receive the covenant, sacred covenant with God, the people become anxious and they doubt that Moses won't come back, and they turn their backs on God. And it's here that we meet Moses today, in this wilderness of time and of place. Not only are the people of Israel without a land to call their home, but also God now remains distant from the people of Israel. God wants nothing to do with this stiff-necked people, he calls them. And instead, he decides to send up an angel or another, someone else, but certainly not himself. Israel's without land and home and is now without close relationship with God. Israel is now in true wilderness. You see, Israel's doubt, mostly Israel's sin, has led them to despair and isolation. Alongside doubt, despair and isolation aren't feelings altogether unfamiliar to us. No, despair has settled on us, much like they did on Israel and Moses, like a heavy cloud, dark and dense. When it does, there seems to be no path we can see to crawl out of the mire in which we find ourselves. No familiar path, no light in the dark. That guiding light seems to be extinguished. Who knows the best way to exit the cloud, to see clear skies? And who knows who will go with us into the unknown? Who knows where the light has gone? Who knows? Like water through the crack in a foundation, doubt seeps into our lives through the cracks that are left behind by the struggles that we experience and threatens to stain and ruin what's inside. Losing a loved one, losing a job, making a mistake of some kind, feelings of maybe not quite being good enough, holding a grudge and not speaking, struggling with a friendship, neglecting to call someone or visit someone, neglecting to call someone back. Sin. Oh yes, despair seeps into even the smallest of struggles and can isolate us from God and from each other. Despair also storms into our lives sometimes in the wake of such natural disasters as hurricanes, earthquakes. We find ourselves in a true wilderness. Moses knew very well the experience of despair after Israel's idolatry. In fact, our passage there opens with his cry to God out of that wilderness of despair. See, you said to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. Yet you've said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Who knows whom God will send with Moses? Who knows? Moses is desperate and turns to call on God in a fiery fervor. You said to me, bring up this people, but you've not said who. You've not let me know whom you'll send with me. And Moses finds himself in this strange situation in which the God who knows him by name and in whose sight he's found favor seems distant, reluctant. Who knows how God will pull us out of our struggles after we've turned our backs on God, after someone that we know has turned her or his back on God? Well, God answers, but he's not specific enough for Moses. You see, Moses wants to be sure. He wants to know. He can't just assume. He wants to know that the God who knows him by name will indeed pull him and the people of God, Israel, out of despair, that by the presence of the Lord, other nations will know them. So he asks again, but it's not enough to know that God will be with Moses. Moses wants to know the ways of God. Moses wants to know the glory of God. He wants to know God intimately. So who knows will go with us? Who knows God's ways? Who knows God? But you see, what Moses doesn't realize is that in the midst of his despair and fear that God has abandoned Israel, by removing his presence, God is still very much present. You see, what Moses doesn't realize is that God is pulling him deeper and deeper into relationship with him. When Moses turns and questions God, God is right there in his midst, in the tent of presence, and answers him. When Moses asks God to go up with Israel into the land of Canaan, God answers Moses and promises his presence. In fact, when Moses asks to see God's glory, God refuses out of care for Moses that he doesn't die when he sees his face, but he still answers his request. You see, the God on whom Israel turned its back, in a strange twist, is now drawing them deeper into intimacy with him by showing his back, all of his goodness that man can handle. Through a great demonstration of his faithfulness, God turns Israel's idolatry, turning their backs on God, into an invitation to one of the most intimate encounters with his presence in all of Scripture. This is the power of our God, to turn the very act of idolatry, turning of the back on God, into an act of supreme intimacy and reconciliation, showing Moses, showing us a glimpse of himself. Sisters and brothers, I mean, we'll have trials. We'll encounter loss, failure. We may even turn our backs on God. But who knows who will go up with us? Who knows who will lead us out of our struggles and despair? We know. We know that it is he who knows us by name. Who will go up with us to the promised land? He who laid the foundations of the earth. He who knit us together in our mother's wombs. He who hemmed us in behind and before. He who promised a child to an aging Sarah and Abraham, although they doubted. He who was present with Gideon, not in the large, he who brought his people up out of Egypt and delivered them. He who calms the storm from the stern of the ship. He who, when all was thought lost upon the cross and the presence of God was thought to be gone, defeated sin and the tomb itself. When we don't feel the presence of God near, like Moses, we need only pursue God, to press into God further, to wrestle with God, to make our lives an eternal pursuit of him. So let us not despair. Despair is not a Christian word. We're not a people who hope in vain. We are a resurrection people. So let us run after God. Luckily for me and my affinity of Zaxby's, metaphorically, let us run. For he in his faithfulness will meet us there in the wilderness. Although we may doubt at times, although we may despair, let us pursue the presence of God with all that we have. Wrestle with God, question with God. For the further we press, the more we may know him. We may know he who knows us by name. We may come to know him by name. Let us leave this place today with that assurance of God's presence ever with us, even when we doubt it, of God's faithfulness. Let us leave a resurrection people. Amen. Thank you.